Let's turn, if we would, this morning to Isaiah chapter 42. And, you know, we're just kind of considering that thought of the new year. And we're quickened by this chapter in Isaiah and what the prophet is speaking, or what the Lord is really speaking through the prophet. You know, this chapter has some contrasting viewpoints of the Lord and how he moves, how he's going to operate in his people and his church. And I wanted to look at that first way. You know, the first way that the Lord is operating, I think this is how we've seen him working. And this is in Isaiah 42. And let's read verses 1 through 4. And he says, "Behold, my servant who I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. But he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And he shall bring forth judgment unto truth, and he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." So we see a picture of the Lord when he was on earth. You know, he was the servant of his Father, and he had the Spirit upon him, and his purpose was to bring judgment, to bring truth to the Gentiles. But there's something interesting we see in verse 2. And that's, it says, he will not cry or lift up his voice in the street. You know, in one sense you could say he's not out in force, right? He's not in the streets making himself known. You know, instead he went to the temple, right? He was appealing to the hearts of those who were hungry, of those who would respond to him, right? Those who were seeking out the truth. He sought those people out. I remember when he was looking for his disciples, he went and sought out, right? He didn't proclaim, "Hey, I'm having an interview process, right? You can be my disciple." He didn't proclaim that in the streets. He went and he came up to certain ones and they're mending their nets and says, "Well, if you want to be fishers of men, follow me." You know, and he had that direct appeal. Of course, he came as the lamb to be sacrificed for us. He came as the shepherd to gently lead those with young, as we have been reading about with David. Now, verse 3 shows us a lot of how he came in gentleness. And sometimes, you know, when you're trying to help someone, you overlook things that are wrong. And when the Lord was coming to us, he had to overlook a lot of things that were wrong, right? He, you know, while we were yet sinners, he loved us. And he brought us into the truth. In verse 3, it also says, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he shall not quench. You know, he didn't come as the hammer, right, to break those who were already bruised and broken by sin, but instead he came to make them whole so that they can stand, so that they can have fellowship with him, they could come into his presence. And, you know, that's important for us to remember too, as we're trying to bring people into truth, that we share the truth in love and in wisdom, to edify, to build up one another. It's so easy to share the truth in a way that can, you know, be like the hammer. You know, sometimes when people aren't doing right, I remember one time Pastor Bailey shared a story of these young men in this Bible school who were misbehaving, and, you know, they didn't heed the warnings, and they came back after misbehaving to a new term of Bible school, and Pastor Bailey was going to tell them what for. And then he came into the door, and the Holy Spirit came upon him and started prophesying good things and how this certain one would have a church and ministry. And Pastor Bailey's wondering, what am I saying? I wanted to give these guys the hammer and tell them, you know, you better shape up or else. But the Lord had another way to correct them, and it was through the word, through prophecy, through getting their eyes focused on the future. And that made the difference in that young man's life. He became a pastor of a large church. But I'm so glad he comes that way. You know, a bruised reed. You know, those who have those areas and faults and brokenness in them, God wants to strengthen. A smoking flax he will not quench. You know, he didn't want to put out the fires of love in people, even though you know, maybe there were some mixture and some wrong stuff going on at the same time. He didn't clamp down on that. Instead, he wanted to fan the flames of love. Because, you know, the Lord can fan the flame of love in our hearts, and sometimes it burns up the other things. And they're destroyed because the love of God in our hearts is burning so brightly that we think, ah, those other things fall to the wayside. He draws us with His cords of love. You know, we read about that in the Song of Solomon with the Shulamite. She's drawn with cords of love. And, you know, Hosea speaks about how the Lord wants to restore those who are lost. And that's His ministry in the last days, isn't it? That He wants a ministry of restoration. And so there's this aspect of the Lord coming to His people that we have to have so worked into our hearts, because that's how He's going to use us to restore others in the last days. Hosea 11 and verse 4, it says, I drew them with the cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as those that take off the yoke from their jaws, and I laid meat before them. Now he says he draws them with the cords of a man. You know, God wants to use us to be an influence and that drawing factor to draw people to the Lord. You know, there have been certain people in my life that just being around them, you know, Christian leaders and so forth, that I saw their life and it spurred me to want to live more righteously and more holy before the Lord. Just seeing their life, it wasn't exactly, you know, well, it was what they preached and taught and so forth, but yet I saw their life and I saw, this is a guy, or this is a person worth imitating. This is a person worth, you know, being like. I want what they have with the Lord. I want their relationship with the Lord, and it spurred my heart. And the Lord wants to draw other people with the cords of men, right? Using us with bands of love. And we can, the Lord can use us to draw other people, you know, showing that we do it through the love of Christ. Taking off the yoke, and that's really the key. Removing the yoke from people, from their lives, you know, by the Spirit of Christ. Removing the yoke of bondage in the lives of others, and then laying meat before them, right? Sharing the good truths of the Word of God to set them free, to give them strength to stand and to fight. That's how the Lord wants to come, and how He's been coming, you know, in our midst, drawing us and using us and teaching us to be like Him. But there's also another way that the Lord is depicted here. And this is what I was really quickened with for this new year, because He comes in a way that's quite opposite of the way we've looked at in the beginning. You know, where before He did not lift up His voice in the streets, He acted with gentleness and with love. Well, now let's look at verses 13 and 14, and we see a different way that the Lord is coming and projecting Himself. Isaiah 42, 13 and 14. It says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He will cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against His enemies. I have a long time held my peace. I have been still and refrained myself, but now I will cry as a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. You know, for a long time, the Lord has been still. And in a certain aspect, right, He's allowed the enemy to kind of go on and do its thing to a degree. He's refrained Himself from crying out, from making His voice heard in the streets, you know, you could say in the common places. But now a change is taking place. He's going forth as a mighty man. He cries, He roars, and His enemies tremble. Oh, I long for that. I long for the Lord to roar through His church, through His people, and the enemy tremble. You know, we can think about that in some of the last day, or some of the revivals of old, you know, how, you know, the Spirit of God came upon those leaders and upon His church in such a way that the enemy trembled. You know, we think about the Welsh revival. That revival touched every aspect of that nation, didn't it? All right, the enemy could not keep its bars open and, you know, keep people trapped like they could. I mean, because the Lord was roaring. he destroyed the power of the enemy in that nation, and it became a nation almost wholly just turned to the Lord and hungry for the Word of God. That's how we need him to come in our nation. We need that in our day. We need that in our city. You know, the principalities over and powers over towns and cities, they've had it pretty good up to this point in some of our countries. You know, God's churches have been there, right? We've been a light. We've been shining the light out, seeking to draw people to the Lord, but now a change takes place where they are on the offensive. They're taking the fight to the enemy, and they're prevailing against their enemies. Let's read verses 15 and 16. He says, I'll make waste mountains and hills and dry up their herbs, and I'll make the rivers islands, and I'll dry up the pools, and I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I'll lead them in a path that they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them and the crooked things straight, and these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. These mighty mountains and hills that have stood before us, right? They will be made a plain. Those rivers that were so deep and difficult to cross, he dries them up. You know, he wants not just to open the eyes of the blind, but to lead them in a new way, in a way they've never been before. And so God's purposes in these last days are mighty, and they're awesome. You know, there are unsaved who have no idea what's waiting for them. I like that thought. There's people out there walking in darkness and just kind of, you know, taking it one day at a time, having their struggles and difficulties. They don't know what's waiting for them. You know, both in meeting the Lord and having the shock of meeting him and coming into eternal life, but the pathway that God has for them. He wants to lead them in a way they could not even imagine. They couldn't dream about. But he's come to lead them in that way. Darkness shall become light. The crooked shall be made straight. The Lord will not forsake them. You could say that the Lord has come to turn their world upside down or right side up, depending on your viewpoint. Right? And so we're seeing this change take place in how the Lord is operating. Before he was waiting patiently, right? And we've been waiting patiently too, haven't we? Wondering, Lord, how long? How long are the heathen going to be, you know, prospering in their way? And how long can they sit there and say, oh, the Lord is not a concern to us? You know, what do we need to hear about Christianity? They can deny it all they want when the Lord is being silent. But when the Lord roars, they won't be able to deny it, because he'll make himself known. He'll do mighty things in the earth. But yet, in this chapter, we see something that has to take place, something that goes along with the Lord revealing himself as a mighty man. And this is the thing that I want us to take careful attention of, because it's our part. And this is in Isaiah 42, verses 21 through 23. It says, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. He'll make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hidden in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivers. Or for a spoil and none says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? And that's the challenge for his church, for God's people, right? There's an inheritance, there's a harvest out there, but they are robbed, they're stuck in the enemy's traps, they're bound in prison, they are the prey of the enemy. And you see the Lord expressing sorrow here, yes, because of the plight of those who are held captive, but also because none says restore. None says restore. Now, I realize we've been praying the Lord restore for a while, but yet the Lord here is talking in the context of his church. You know, the Lord desires to deliver a multitude, but he's looking for those who will cry out, restore. You know, he asks the question, who among you will give ear to this? Who is going to listen? Who will pay attention for this time to come? It reminds me of what he says also in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. He says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, that should stand in the gap for me and for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, of course, this is referring to Israel, you know, in that time, and you know, there was none righteous. You know, I was even reading this morning, you know, how Abraham was interceding with the Lord for Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there's even 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, Lord, if there's even 10, because those were the ones that would stand in the gap, who would be righteous and save the wicked, but they couldn't be found. And so that call is going out today. Who will stand in the gap? Who will be righteous? Who will cry out, restore? You know, Moses says of him in Psalm 106 and verse 23, and this is really why he is the great man of God that he is. Psalm 106, 23, it says, therefore he says that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. When Moses saw the judgment heading for his people, he cried out for the Lord on their behalf, and he gave himself for his people so that they would be saved. And in a sense, that's what has to happen today for towns, for cities, for our nation, is that the people of God have to lift up their voice and start giving of themselves, of their, you know, I don't know if it's so much our actions. I mean, I don't know if crying out in the streets is going to do much, but crying out to heaven, Lord, restore. Lord, bring down the enemy. You know, and really it's just that act of lifting up our voice and standing in the gap. And standing in the gap is not doing some mighty thing for the Lord. It's just making ourselves available for Him to lead us, for Him to speak and pray through us. I think we're pretty familiar with the story of John Hyde, or Praying Hyde, as he was called, you know, missionary to India. And he had a difficult time learning the language. And actually, I didn't realize, but it was in part because he was partially deaf. And he had a hard time hearing people and learning the language there. But what he did give himself to was prayer. And he realized there's such a harvest here that God has. He began to pray and say, Lord, give me souls. And he would give a number. You know, Lord, can I have 365 souls this year? One for every day. And then he started praying for two a day. And then he, you know, his faith was increasing, and he realized the Lord wanted to have a harvest in India, more than 365. And so he started to cry out. And we know that famous prayer he prayed, Lord, give me souls, O God, or I die. Give me souls, or I die. And he was just entering into that place where he was getting a give of himself, like Moses. Lord, judge me instead of them. Lord, save this people. And he gave of himself. And as he ministered in India, you know, and he started to lead people, and this burden came upon other people to pray in this manner, and a wave of revival spread across the land, and many people came into the kingdom. Of course, we know that part of the result was that heavy burden that he carried had a physical toll. He had to leave India at one point because he had heart trouble. His heart was enlarged, you know, but that was the price that he was willing to pay to see those souls. You know, someone else who prayed along a similar lines, you know, named John Knox, he prayed, give me Scotland or I die. Give me this nation, Lord. Lord, I want you to move in this nation. He had such a burden to see his nation saved and come into the light and delivered from darkness, you know, and so as he did that, and he was crying out to the Lord day by day, and you know, from his prayers and his preaching, a change started to take place. He started to have an influence upon his nation and drawing many people to the Lord, so much so that the Roman Catholic Queen, Mary Queen of Scots, is reputed to have said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe, because she realized there was power his prayers were moving heaven, and it was drawing people, and they were leaving the confines of, you know, the old ways and coming into the new ways of God. But it was because he was crying out, "Lord, restore. Lord, move." It was the time, it was the season in that land for God to move. But we know and we're sensing that it is the time and the season for our land and for our city. You know, the Lord has spoken to us about clear water. He's shared that his eye is upon this city. Pastor Tucker even shared, he got a sense one of the times he was visiting us, that someone in the past has paid a great price for clear water. That they have given themselves, whether it's in prayer or who knows. We know Pastor Bailey paid a price when he came here in 1964 and endured much because the Lord said, "I want my doctrine to be like clear water." He paid that price. You know, and the Lord has been patiently waiting. It's been a lot of years since 1964. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of patiently waiting. We've been here since 2004. That was 40 years from then, and then now it's another 13. Right? We're waiting for the Lord, but we're sensing a change taking place. Now, I'm not making any predictions or of what's happening, but yet we sense that change, that God wants to come as the mighty man of war. He doesn't want to wait any longer either. He wants to bring down the stronghold over Clearwater, to bring down the mountains and the hills, to dry up the rivers and the obstacles before us, so that he can bring in a mighty harvest of souls in this city, in this area. But he's also looking for those who will say, "Restore." So I want to encourage you, you know, in your prayer times and as we gather in this church to pray, that we have that emphasis and where we call upon the Lord. Let's begin to call upon him in our prayer time. Yes, Lord, move, but Lord, come as the mighty man of war. Bring down the strongholds. I would encourage you to meditate on Isaiah 42 in this passage. Lord, come forth in this way. Make your voice heard. Cause the heathen to see that you are God. It's been so easy for them to ignore Christianity and to ignore, you know, because it's just been kind of dormant. But the Lord is not going to let that happen for too much longer if his people will cry, "Restore." Because he desires to come and make his voice heard, to set the prisoner free, to bring liberty. Amen. Lord, may it be so. Lord, would you even begin to move upon our hearts and put that burden upon us, Lord, as you would see fit. Cause your burden to come upon us, Lord, that we would be those who would cry out, "Restore." That we will be those that will be willing to give of ourselves, of our time, of our energy, Lord, of our prayers, Lord, of the burden that would come upon our hearts that we would bear, O God, until you move. Lord, would you even cause us, Lord, to be those who would not give you rest, who would not be silent, that we would lift up our voice, O God, to the heavens, that you would move, Lord, and that's our cry, that you would come and that you would move in this city, Lord. We cry out to you for it. Come and move in Clearwater. Lord, set the captives free. Lord, don't be silent anymore, but Lord, lift up your voice and make yourself known. Lord, not just through man's words, but through the power of the Spirit. Oh God, make yourself known, we ask. Bring down the strongholds in Clearwater, we pray. Lord, and set, Lord, your kingdom on high, that you would reign in this city and that all would know it, we ask. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you, and Happy New Year.